Privacy, folks. Now, where's that rock? We might lose sleep worrying robots will take our jobs, but at least we'll never see them on the sports field, right? You've obviously not heard of the Electric Sheep Soccer Team. With me today, Human Interface Technology PhD student Merrill Kaisers from Canterbury University in Christchurch, New Zealand. Merrill, a whole soccer team of robots. Describe what they look like for us.
They are meant to be humanoid, so they have two legs, two arms, and a head, and that's about as far as it goes. They are hip height to knee height, so rather small. There is a league that works with adult size, but those robots are incredibly expensive, at least $100,000 each. So most people go for the kid size league.
So a robot can be taught to kick a ball. I can imagine how that might work, but how do you actually get one to kick a ball?
That is actually quite complicated. One of the great things about RoboCop is that you start to realize how many things humans do automatically that you have to put a program into a robot. The robot, of course, has to have a vision. It has to recognize the ball, and it also has to recognize that not every spherical object is the ball. Then it has to measure how far it is away from the ball, approach it to an appropriate distance, and kick its feet in the right direction.
Well, and that's the next question, really. How do they know what to aim at?
We try to teach them what a goal looks like, which is a lot harder than it sounds, unfortunately. And then the second major issue to tackle is the orientation. What you see quite often in the RoboCup, where robots play football, is that robots will get confused after a while and start aiming for their own goal. So localization is hard. Right now we try to do it by having the robots communicate with another. Hopefully soon we'll get better. GPS is unfortunately not allowed, so that's not an option for us.
I like the idea of robot football teams scoring own goals. That must be fascinating to watch.
It is really cool because you have the human side of the team standing next to the field, and they start yelling at the robot as it's approaching its own goal, and obviously try to scare it away, even though they're fully aware that the robot will not understand a single thing they're saying.
Do the robots get embarrassed? Do they get embarrassed when they make that kind of mistake?
No, as far as I'm aware, no team has programmed embarrassment in yet. Maybe that will be something for the next year.
And what about dribbling the ball? There must be complexity in that as well, I would think.
There's very few teams who can actually get a robot to dribble. The closest I've seen is a robot that just keeps walking when the ball is in front of it and kind of hopes that the ball goes in a straight line. But most of the time, it's just robot sees the ball, robot looks for the goal, and kicks it in that direction. There's one team that manages to make passes between robots, but that is absolutely, up until this year, I don't think that had happened before. It's absolutely fascinating and a totally new thing.
Well, that kind of opens my next question, which is how you get a team of robots to behave like a team, do they?
Barely. What I said, there is one team that can make passes, but what you have to understand is that it's quite difficult for... It requires a lot of things, right? You have to know your own localization. You have to know where the other robot is. You have to be able to kick the ball in at the right angle and at the right speed. So I think right now, for most teams, it's still too complex. Hopefully in the future, they will get better at it. We're definitely not there yet.
So what are some of the other skills you had to teach robot footballers, and how did you go about teaching them?
So for our team, we kept it reasonably simple since it was our first year and we had only a few months to really develop our team. It was seeing the ball, of course, perceiving the goalposts and discriminating between goalposts and, say, someone wearing white pants, which is also basically a vertical white line.
Sorry, the other thing I was going to say, of course, you've had to teach them that not all round objects are balls. So I suppose unless you were really meticulous about that, they could be kicking heads.
If you are bald and laying down on a field, yes, you might get a little robot kicking your head.
So it seems to me there are still quite a few things that are beyond the reach of the current crop of robot football players. What are the most elusive things that you still need to teach them?
I would say the prime thing would be localization and balance. Like they, at fastest, I would say they go a very slow strolling speed. They have to very carefully position themselves before they can make a kick. Stuff like running after a ball and kicking it while in motion are simply not happening yet.
So they play a very slow game of football. Is that how it works?
Yes.
And they often score in their own goal rather than the opponent's goal.
I would say more often they just lose track of the ball. So you have a robot dribble a ball or kick a ball to the other side of the field, then walk towards it and then look around very confused, turn around and walk the other way while the human side of the team is yelling from the sideline.
And the humans are yelling from the sidelines. I suppose that's a very human thing to do. But, of course, that means nothing whatever to the robots, does it?
No. I don't think any team has any sound receptors, so the robots wouldn't even be aware of the sound.
Now, you had a cross-disciplinary team of others from the University of Canterbury there in Christchurch, and you competed your team at the International Robo Cup in Sydney recently. How did Electric Sheep go?
We weren't quite as successful as we had hoped. For a part that was stupid, that luck, we got our funding approved reasonably late. So we made a whole bunch of purchases for motors and stuff. And simply, I would guess, 3/4 did not arrive in time. So we had to work with what we had as prototype building. Then we were late with actually 3D printing that because we were still hoping for the motors that we ordered and stuff to arrive. So we didn't take enough time to properly test that. We went over with 2.5 robot rather than 4, which is the standard for our league.
How did the half-robot go?
The half-robot was, we were contemplating just putting him on goal, but eventually he just served as a spare parts repository.
So when he was on the field, was he just legs kicking the ball, or was he arms grabbing the ball and trying to throw it?
It was a complete robot, but his arm motors weren't working properly, so he was meant to just stand there and maybe attempt a kick, but that would have been very tricky because if he'd fallen over, he would be unable to put himself upright again.
So balance is one of the big issues. What's so complicated about that?
Well, as a human, of course, there is a number of different perceptions working together to gain a sense of balance. You can notice how much more tricky it is to stand upright if, for example, you stand on one leg and you close your eyes. Robots don't have that many or that fine-tuned sensory thing. So what we usually do is we use a gyro, which can detect falls in three different planes, up, down, left, right, front, back. Our gyros were broken, so they missed one of the axes, which did not help our team. But for humans, there is also the feedback from, say, nerves in your feet, that say whether there's more pressure on your toes or on your back. There is, of course, the in-ear balance organ. Robots don't have that. So that is what makes it a lot more tricky. We are contemplating adding, making balance in our robots multisensory. So, for example, adding the horizontal line from vision to the gyros. But it's all, as far as I know, it hasn't been done yet, and we still have to explore the option.
So how much better was the winning team of robots than your team this time around?
Oh, they are a lot better. They are definitely faster. They when it was actually quite interesting thing. They had a throw-in this year in the finals, and so far, up until this year, throw-ins had always been kick-ins because robots can't pick up a ball, much less put it behind their head and throw it in. But this year, the winning team actually managed to throw in a ball. Apparently, they tried it once before, and the robot very confidently threw the ball off the field and into the audience.
So oh, that's fair enough, isn't it? That would be strategy.
Yeah, just confuse the opposite team. Pretend you're not as good as you actually are.
Do you have the sense that your robot footballers actually enjoyed playing, or they just found it all a bit tiresome?
I feel like they're willing to conform to what we're expecting because apparently it's something that makes us happy. I don't really think the robots, I think the robots, if they would feel anything, they would be mostly confused, very confused with the entire ordeal.
Well, that's how I play football, but I didn't manage to score very many own goals, and I'm imagining my balance was a bit better. So let me just summarise. Your robots, as I understand it, cost about $3,000 a piece. Is that right?
Yep.
And some of the robots, robot footballers, were costing like 10 times as much as that.
Oh, yeah, easily. I would say most of the other teams have a minimum budget of $20,000 a robot.
So what's the difference between a $20,000 robot and a $3,000 robot?
Well, first of all, ours are made from scratch. And most of the other teams play with a not entirely off-the-shelf product, but one where at least the layout is you can just buy. Their motors are a lot better. Ours are roughly $90, I think. The other teams play with easily $300-$500 motors each, and when you need 14 motors per robot, that kind of adds up. There is, of course, the overall hardware quality. When I said our gyros are broken when they arrive, other teams will get more expensive stuff, and hopefully those are not broken for them. We just cut a lot in the cost.
And I'd like to talk to you on another occasion. We're just running out of time this morning now, Meryl, but I understand that you're also researching robot bullying.
Yes.
They bully each other?
No, humans bullying robots.
Oh, humans bully robots. Well, that's very...
Yeah, when they first started putting robots in the field, they noticed that across the world, so South Korea, Japan, America, Europe, some humans have this tendency to abuse robots, and interestingly, it's not what you'd expect. Like, you'd expect vandalism, putting fire to them, keying them, stuff like that. But instead, people slap them, and they yell insults at them, and they really try to intimidate them, which is a social behavior, which is very interesting. So yeah, I'm trying to figure out why people do that.
I've been talking to Meryl Kaisers. She's a PhD student and an expert in human interface technology. And she's one of the, I suppose, coaches would be the best way to describe it, of the Electric Sheep Soccer Team, a robotic soccer team from Christchurch in New Zealand. Meryl, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Coming up now, something to complain about? Why not